Welcome to the BizNews Premium Briefing. I'm Alec Hogg, and this is your podcast, our daily private conversation where we go behind the scenes of the website, check in on BizNews TV, and I share a few thoughts from my world. This is the Inner Circle. It's Wednesday, the 5th of November, 2025. Glad to have you with me. 5th of November, Guy Fawkes Day. I just fear for the animals, the pets around the country when people just go a little bit crazy with their fireworks. Let's hope that there's a bit more responsibility today. There wasn't much fireworks on the markets. I'll get into that in a little while. Just to bring you up to date on the latest for what is now becoming an increasingly popular director's cut. That's the one big interview that I do on a day, which is tailored for the BizNews briefing. So we cut that back. We cut back about 10 minutes of the director's cut, of the full interview, and then cut and dice and slice it and explain parts of it in the BizNews briefing. This is all in anticipation of the 17th of November, which is Monday week, when we launch on ENCA at 7:30 in the evening. We will then have the briefing then as now, coming out at 8 p.m. at night, and then 8:30 we have what is called the director's cut, and that is the full unabridged interview that the briefing is pulled from on that day. This morning I spoke with Glynis Breytenbach, Glynis Breytenbach MP. She is just one of my heroes. She's tough as nails. 26 years in the NPA, National Prosecuting Authority, 12 years in Parliament, and she has never deviated from serving the public, serving the greater interest, putting her neck on the line, and there's not a scared bone in this woman's body. I was quite interested to see behind her. You can have a look at that when you watch this evening on the briefing and then later in the director's cut. You'll see that there are three pictures on her office wall behind her. They're not her parents. They're not her partner or children or anyone like that. It's her dogs. She's got three, looks like seriously strong Alsatians anyway. And it's appropriate. They say that people's dogs are very appropriate to the people that they are. I suppose the fact that we've got Jack Russell says something about us as well. Anyway, the interview was fascinating. The briefing tonight is an absolute knockout. Don't miss it. It'll be on air at 8 o'clock on the BizNews TV channel. This means that I've pushed forward the Steenkampskraal interview that I had yesterday. That is going to be released tomorrow evening. So that's going to be in BizNews Briefing tomorrow, and that is also going to be supported by the conversation that Peter Major and I have this afternoon about Steenkampskraal and other issues. Rare earths are very much in focus now around the world. We've got this wonderful deposit in Steenkampskraal. It's been sitting there unmined since the 1960s, at which time Anglo-American stopped going any deeper into it. Then the Canadians came along, I told you that story yesterday anyway. So the mine that the latest owners of Steenkampskraal have is in pretty good shape. They now have 200 million from the IDC, and they're ready to start kicking off production. Of course, this is so rich, the material there, that they could actually supply the whole world, which at the moment is worrying because the Chinese are cutting off their water. And this these rare earths are used for drones, magnets in electric vehicles, in windmills, the new high-grade electricity-generating windmills and so on. So it is a very important product, and an important product that no doubt is going to be come even more relevant in the South African context, hence our focus on Steenkampskraal, which is where our country anyway has its most obvious deposit. I want you now to shuffle a little bit closer and to listen in on a conversation that our partners at the Financial Times of London had this morning in the FT News briefing. The host, Sonia Hudson, spoke with Arjun Neil Alim. He's the FT's Asia financial correspondent. And the reason I want you to listen to this is because there are many people who are under the impression that they can switch away from the United States, which is being fueled, stocks in the United States, which are being fueled by an artificial intelligence boom, and they can go off to Asia or to other countries, certainly in Southeast Asia, and in that way get balance against if there were to be a crack in what increasingly people are calling an AI bubble on Wall Street. This will open your eyes to some extent. It certainly opened mine.
So what investors are seeing in Asia is that markets have performed very strongly this year. You know, Korea, Japan, Hong Kong, these are markets that have all provided double-digit returns. But actually, if you look under the hood, it's a small number of stocks, tech stocks, often with an AI theme, that are driving the majority of returns in these markets. In Hong Kong, it's six tech stocks that are responsible for 50% of the Hang Seng's return this year. In Korea, it's two stocks that are responsible for 40% of the index's return. In Taiwan, one stock is responsible for more than half of the return. So it is a very narrow rally that is comparable to how much the Magnificent Seven is driving the S&P in the U.S.
Just draw the connection for me from U.S. tech stocks to Asian tech stocks.
Well, clearly the AI theme is global. So global investors are very excited about the potential for AI to completely revolutionize the economy as well as individual businesses. In Japan and Korea, it's mainly the hardware stocks, so chip makers, foundries, and the supply chain of AI that's doing very well. Whereas in China and Hong Kong, it's the internet companies that are driven by a surge of interest in China's homegrown tech after the DeepSeek moment earlier this year. So a lot of these companies in Asia that we highlight as contributing to their industry's returns are suppliers to US companies like NVIDIA or Apple. What this shows is if there is a downturn in the US and there is a correction to the AI optimism that is currently infecting the whole market, that will impact not only the US, but also these Asian markets.
What's the counter argument here? Is there reason to believe that there will not be a bubble in Asian markets?
So the big argument against why you should be worried about Asian tech is the valuations are not in the same place that the US is. If you look at trailing PE ratios, US indices are much more richly valued on average than Japanese, Chinese, or Taiwanese indices. So in many ways, there's much more room to run for these companies. There are some exceptions to that. You know, I'm thinking of Chinese chip makers like SMIC, which trades at a very, very high price earnings ratio, you know, almost as high as Palantir in the US. But overall, yeah, valuations are not in the same place.
What does all this mean for investors ultimately?
I guess the big takeaway is, you know, if you are a global investor or an Asian investor who is concerned about an AI bubble or frothiness in tech in the US, and you're diversifying out of the US into Asian indices, you should be aware that Asian indices are being propelled by many of the same themes that we're seeing in the US.
Arjun Neil Alim is the FT's Asia financial correspondent. Thanks, Arjun.
Thank you very much.
That was Sonia Hudson talking to Arjun. And what is relevant and so relevant for South Africa is that we've had Prosus and NASPAS who've been doing incredibly well here as well. If you have a look at the Shift portfolio, Prosus is up 40% since we switched it into South African rand. 40%. And that has been driven by Tencent, which is in Hong Kong. So basically what Arjun Neil was telling us was to watch out because the Hong Kong stocks have been driven by Tencent, Alibaba and the likes, and that they are not going to be invulnerable to any meltdown that might come on Wall Street. Neither will Palantir. It is just an extraordinary performer, that one, hasn't it? Got to $210 on its results, which were stellar, and has now come down to $190. a share. Remember, we bought that one at $8.90 in the Shift portfolio, halved our holding, halved it again, and we're still sitting now on 39 units, which are showing us a 20 bagger return. And it's become by far the biggest stock in the portfolio, 13% of the portfolio. So we're holding on to that one. It doesn't matter if that goes down or goes up. And I was actually quite fascinated by a conversation that went on in the WhatsApp group, the investment group today, where someone was giving another one a little bit of a rev about their Bitcoin holdings and that Bitcoin has gone down recently. And this one, the first guy went back and said, but do you have any clue what price I actually bought my Bitcoin at? And I think that's really what it's all about. If Palantir is down 10, 15% in the past week, and we're up 2,042%, as is the case in the Shift portfolio, what me worry, as Arthur E. Newman from Mad Magazine used to say. Just to remind you that the other portfolio, those are on easy equities, those are long-term. And the Ricardo portfolio, where you put in, we're certainly putting in 10,000 Rand a month into Rand, and 10,000 Rand a month into the US dollar portfolio. The one is slightly in front, the other one is slightly behind, but that really doesn't matter where we stand at this point in time. This is a long-term investment. And so it's interesting, though, to keep an eye on what the best performers are. And in the Rand portfolio, the best performers have been the New Gold Index, Capitec, and Sabvest Capital. In the dollar portfolio, the best portfolios performers rather have been Alphabet, Amazon. Well, Alphabet and Amazon, they both double digits. And on the way down, the Bitcoin Trust is down by 13%, as is Meta Platform. So you win some, you lose some. Overall, don't worry about the day-to-day movements in that portfolio, because in a way, we're going to just be buying those Bitcoin Trust ETFs cheaper, 12% cheaper, at the end of this month. Well, thanks for being with me. Thanks for supporting BizNews. Thanks for your support as a premium member. Cheerio.